Right time, right place. Now let's look at the right place. Okay, we'll look at the story of Abraham's servant. But before that, we look at Ruth, which you saw just now on the screen. There's a beautiful Ruth is a picture of you and I. The story of Ruth. I have a sermon album called Love Story of Ruth. Yeah, the love story of Ruth. It's very romantic. It's a beautiful story. And it's a love story of Jesus and His church. All of us, we are the bride of Christ. Amen? And we are all non-Jews for the most part. We are not Jewish people. We don't belong to the commonwealth of Israel. Amen? And Ruth is from Moab, present-day Jordan. And they're actually under the law. They're under the curse. And they're not allowed to enter into the congregation of the Lord. That's under the law. Okay? But what happened is that Naomi, who is a Jewess, a Jew from Bethlehem, she and her husband, all right, Ahimelech, all of them left. Ahimelech, they left. They left the land of Bethlehem to go to Jordan to stay there for a while because there was a famine. Then later on, their three sons married. Their two sons married two Moab girls, right? Ruth and Orpah. And what happened is that later on, both sons died. Her husband died first, and the two sons died. It's a picture of Israel outside her land. They never really prospered outside the land. In fact, there's even death outside the land. That's why God brought them back in 1948. They came back as a nation. All the prophetic truths are there. And then Ruth is not part of Israel, right? But then she wanted to come back because she said to her mother-in-law, "Your God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, He is my God." She became a believer. "Your God is my God." Praise the Lord. She believed in the Lord. Amen. So she followed her mother-in-law back to Bethlehem when God started visiting them and giving them a harvest of bread. Praise the Lord. All right. They went back. And this time when they came back poor. Right? It's all of us. We're all spiritually bankrupt. I don't care how much money you have in the bank. All right? We're all spiritually bankrupt. Even rich people die. It's not just poor people die. Rich people die. Everyone come under the curse of sin because we're all spiritually bankrupt. And the wages of sin is death, physical death and spiritual death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So we should not measure our life by our accumulation of wealth. Stop it. This year, stop it. Enjoy the true life. Stop postponing enjoying the life more abundant that Jesus came to give. Amen. Just another million, another 10 million. Oh, I got this new idea. My friend has this amazing idea. We'll make a lot of money here, a lot of money. Every year, the same thing and end up, you know, frustrated, losing your years and time is going by, losing time, your family, coming off frustration just for another million. Hey, friend, this is not where fulfillment is. But God can give you blessings. Amen. That you can have more than enough to be a blessing. Yes, but it must come from the Lord. Now, if you are working in a company, you must be a good steward, amen? Your job is to prosper your company. You must be an asset and a blessing as a testimony to the Lord. You're not there looking to your boss as your source for your profit. The Bible says, don't be eye service as man pleases, but work as unto the Lord. Do everything with excellence. Go the extra mile. Not only when they're looking at you, do it as unto the Lord, knowing that of the Lord, you shall receive the reward. The Bible says that. That's our motive for working. Amen? Then we look forward. We see Jesus there. We're working as unto the Lord. We walk before Him, before His face, smiling at us. This for you, Jesus. Amen. And even your life becomes worship. Okay, anyway, talking about this, she came back and the menial task for a poor person to get some sustenance is actually gleaning. In other words, after the harvest, after they reap the harvest, the reapers come and cut the harvest. Usually the stalks will fall off. They'll bundle the stalk together, but there are some that fall off. Whatever falls to the ground is a back-breaking work. The gleaners will come, the poor people will come, and they'll pick up what fell off, and that becomes theirs. So this is what she said. Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." This girl who just became a believer believes in grace. What is grace? Unearned, undeserved favor. Now, if she went by the law condemns her. She doesn't belong to Israel. But she's not looking to the law. She's looking to grace. Unearned, undeserved favor. The more undeserving I am, the more I qualify for grace. She says, I'll go to the field. She told her mother-in-law, I'll go and work as a gleaner. I'll go to the field and look at her faith. And whoever is there, I will find grace in his sight. Okay? So she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And I purposely used the old King James. See, you understand. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now, Boaz was the wealthiest bachelor at that time. So there's a large field there. Not every part of the field is Boaz, even though he's the wealthiest man. Some parts belong to other men. But because she says, I'll find grace, she found herself. She happened to be in the field belonging to the wealthiest bachelor. Now watch this. Her hap is all English. Hap, H-A-P. Her hap was to light. Her hap is the word where you get happening. All right? It's the word where you get happy. Hap. When happenings happen the way you want it to happen, you are happy. Got it? And for us believers, even when happenings don't happen to happen the way you want it to happen, we are joyful. Joy is independent of circumstances. We have both. And happenings that happen the way you want it to happen, but kara is happenings that happen to happen in the right way. Amen. Her hap was to light. These two words, hap and light, are two words of kara. One is noun, one is verb. Kara is used twice in one verse. Right happening. You know the rest? Boaz came, Boaz saw her in the field. He fell in love with her immediately. And she became the great-grandmother of David who slew Goliath. Amen. And from her lineage came our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. All started with she was at the right place at the right time. And you know what? She wasn't smart enough to position herself at the right place at the right time. She don't even know who is the guy who owns that field. She happened to be in the field. What the world calls coincidence, God says is a God incident. Amen. Amen. This is going to happen to you. Your life partner will just look at you. Sarangayo, straight away. When I saw her standing there, I fell about from my chair. And when she moved her mouth to speak, I felt the blood go to my feet. You'll find Boaz says all this in verse. No, it's not. Okay, anyway. Y'all got it so far. Come on, church. Right time, right place. Kara is all about right happening. Amen? Right happening. Praise the Lord. Only God can give right happening. Now go to Abraham's servant story. Praise God. Now again, let me just tell you this. For the story of Ruth, before we show them Abraham's servant, the story of Ruth is the story of Jesus, right? Now, we are bankrupt. We are, by the law, we are all condemned. Amen. We have all broken the Ten Commandments, if not outwardly, inwardly, in our thoughts, in our hearts and minds. All of us are sinners. We don't have any title to God and His blessings. Praise God. But you know what? We need a redeemer. A redeemer means someone who can buy you out of your slave market, out of your sin, amen, out of your condemnation, and bring you to a place of sonship. Amen. So, Boaz, the one who married Ruth, is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. To redeem someone, you must have three qualities. All right, number one, you must be a relative. There's a law to redeem someone who is poor, all right, it's Moses' law, actually. All right, it's imperative that a person is a relative. Must be a relative. That's why Jesus came as a man. Because all men is lost. Number two, he must be wealthy. The relative must be a relative and must be wealthy because the poor cannot redeem the poor. Right? And third of all, is the most important, I think. He must be willing. We know our relatives that are wealthy. They are our relatives, but not willing. Don't put up your hands. Right? So Jesus must belong to the human family. That's why the story of Christmas, he came as a baby, right? Wrapped in human flesh. Amen. So that he, is he rich? Oh yeah. Amen. But best of all, he's willing. How willing? Stretch his hands on the cross and said, I love you. I love you. He died for our sins on the cross.